those of you that are watching from home, we're glad to have you with us this morning here at the Lexington Christian Church.
Amen.
In Indiana. Not too much in the way of announcements. Mark is not here this morning, but he sent us a message. He said there would be a very important Christmas meeting next Sunday after church. And arrange for a schedule for preparing the lights and doing, well, I don't know what I did.
Everyone who volunteered, he said he wanted to hear, and even if you didn't volunteer, but you would like to help.
Or if you would be willing to be drafted.
Yeah. We got to get busy.
Right.
Lot to do.
Tomorrow night, yes, I know it's Labor Day, but we will have a business meeting, as usual, on the first Monday of the month, tomorrow evening. And we have some pretty urgent stuff to discuss, so all of you can be there, please do.
Yeah.
Do we have any birthdays this morning? None? What about anniversaries? I know we've got one, but is there anybody besides Wilma and me today? As an anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you.
Especially from the dead.
Oh, it's a wonderful morning.
Amen.
It's always a wonderful morning.
It's the day the Lord has made.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Let's stand and sing. Number 17.
Compassions, they fail not.
Sure. Our Father and God, thank you so much. Thank you for being such a good and gracious and loving Father. Thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die and pay the debt for our sins, that we might be saved, that we might live eternally with you in heaven. Lord, we have so much to give thanks and praise for. Every breath, every step, everything we do, it's a gift from you, Lord. Your word is clear that without you, we're nothing. But with you, all things are possible. So thank you, Lord, for those all things. We don't even know what that means for sure. But all things, even things that we haven't learned yet. But it's possible as long as we are with you. As you're song was written that we just sung. We need to take time to be holy. We need to take time every day, every moment of every day. Set aside time to get alone with you. We need to take the time to read your word and let the Spirit lead and guide. I've heard many people say, follow your heart. But your word says that a heart can be deceptive. We need to follow the Spirit. We need to follow you. And then there will be no deception. Just happiness and joy in Christ. So Lord, we pray this morning that if anyone here has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, or anyone listening, that today would be the day the Holy Spirit will grip them and they will bow down before you. Confess their sins, repent of their sins, and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, for those of us who are already Christians, if there's anything in our life that we need to confess, let us do so, that you can bless us more. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to participate in the communion service this morning, let's turn to page 260. Come share the Lord.
Finding out. breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come drink the wine, come drink, come share the
Jim Rominger has our meditation this morning.
Calm down. I chose this morning to read a story from Billy Graham.
Amen.
And he must have thought this story was pretty important because he put it on the back of his book. It's entitled, Why Am I So Certain? Whenever anyone asks me how I can be so certain about who and what God really is, I am reminded of the story of a little boy who was out flying a kite. It was a fine day to go kite flying. The wind was brisk. A large billowy cloud were blowing across the sky. The kite went up and up until it was entirely hidden by the clouds. What are you doing? A man asked the little boy. I'm flying a kite, he replied. Flying a kite, are you? The man asked. How can you be sure? You can't see your kite. No, said the little boy, I can't see it, but every little while I feel a tug.
Amen.
So I know for sure that it's there. Don't take anyone else's word for God. Find him for yourself, and then you too will know by the wonderful warm tug on your heartstring that he is there.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
We ended up celebrating the life of Christ, the Last Supper, when he took the bread, he took the cup, and he ended up thanking the Father.
Amen.
And we know from that point when we rely on our Lord and Savior and his life and ultimately his death and resurrection, that we can too can be saved.
Amen.
We thank you for everything that you do for us and the warm tug that you give each one of us.
Yes.
Knowing that you're there for us.
Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room, Jesus took bread, blessed, broke it, gave to each of them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat of it, all of you." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, he took it and gave thanks, passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Amen.
Amen.
Let's praise the Lord a little more.
Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Number 436.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite could I withhold, not a mite could I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be
number 492, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safest place to be.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace in mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Scripture this morning.
Yeah.
Scripture this morning is Matthew 15:21-28. Leaving the place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Jesus, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen. We don't want to forget that. We don't want to forget that. God is good all the time. Not just part of the time, not sometime, but all the time. Even when it may seem like he's not being good to us, he's being good to us. You know, there is a song, I think it's a country song, that talks about thanking God for unanswered prayer. And there's wisdom in that. There's wisdom in that, because sometimes the things we ask for are not what we need. They may be what we want, but they're not what we need, and it's not what's good for us. And God knows, and we have to trust in him. And so even though it may seem like he's being unkind, he is being kind. And we have to learn to trust. No matter what, we have to learn to trust. When a tree falls on your house, you have to learn to trust. that tree limb fell so easily. And it's just like God just kind of laid it over. Made a little hole in the roof, but it could have done much, much more. So I'm thankful. You know, Jesus has been doing miracles. He's been preaching the truth. He's been confronted by the leaders, spiritual leaders of the day, and the religious leaders and the political leaders of the day, and he has corrected them over and over again. And now then, he's moved into a new area. It says he went to the area of Tyre and Sidon. These are import areas. They were on the water. And so there would have been people from a lot of different backgrounds, from a lot of different places, coming in to Tyre and Sidon on ships, on boats, merchants, and coming to pick up supplies and trade and take things back to their home. And so there's a lot going on in this place. And so it's a busy center. And Jesus goes right into the middle of all this busy business. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of puts me in mind of today's world. There's a lot of busy business going on in the world. In fact, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the busyness of this world that we don't have time for Jesus. We don't have time for that taking time to be holy. We don't have time for the Word of God. We don't have, because folks, I mean, we got this to do, we got that to do, we got the other to do, and then there's the grandkids and the kids, and we've got all this other stuff going on, and their ball games and their tryouts for this or that, and so much to do. And I'm telling you, the devil can use that as a tool to keep us away from what counts the most. All of those things are good, but those are not the best. You remember Mary and Martha. Martha was busy, wanted to prepare the food and the meal, get everything together. She felt like that since Jesus was there as a guest in her home, she had to be busy doing things. She had to impress Jesus with her works, with her busyness. She had to get everything just right. And she said, "Jesus, chastise my sister. She's not helping." Fair phrase, but that's basically what was said. But Jesus, rather than chastising Mary, he said, "Mary has chosen the better thing. Only one thing is needed," he said, "to sit at my feet, to learn from me, to grow, to listen and obey. That's more important than all the busy things." Because here's the thing, if you really think about this logically, how do you know what he wants you to do if you haven't asked and listened? So sometimes the devil wants us to just be busy doing something, anything, and convincing us we're doing it for Jesus, when really we haven't asked Jesus, "Is this what you want me to do?" Jesus gives us all a mission to accomplish. And once that mission is accomplished, he gives us another mission to accomplish. Once that's accomplished, he gives us another mission. And some missions take years to fulfill. In fact, some people's mission is their life. It's their whole life work to accomplish this one mission, because it takes so long for us to grow into sometimes those particular things that he wants us to do. For example, when I became a minister, you know, I've shared my testimony. I fought against Christ for 18 years and I felt like I was going to die if I didn't submit. So I submitted. And finally, then I found out, hey, this is not easy. You know, you get up here, and I read the Bible, studied the Bible, I looked up stuff in all kinds of dictionaries and commentaries, and I get up there, you know, I had the knowledge here, and I had the love in my heart, but I didn't have what it took to get it out to people so they could understand it, what I was trying to come across with. And that takes time, folks. You have to grow into how to communicate in such a way that people can grasp what you're saying. And then after I started going to Bible college, well, I thought, when I was preaching while I was going to Bible college, I thought, man, I'll just impress everybody with all this big vocabulary I've been learning. And so I started using these big words, eschatology and, you know, all these other ologies, and people are like, I don't know what you just said, but, you know, it was impressive, but it didn't help me. And we have to be careful, because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to miscommunicate. He wants us to not get things exactly right. And above all, he does not want us to be humble. He wants us to be proud and arrogant. And I tell you for sure, I used to be number one at that. I was really a nasty person before Christ. We all have a BC, don't we? A BC before Christ in our lives. Makes a big difference. But all of this happening, all of this going on, and then a Canaanite woman. Now you have to understand the background here. And I know most of you probably already know this, but just as a way of a reminder, the Canaanites were the people who came when the children of Israel went after the Exodus, when they were conquering the land and coming into their own nationhood. The Canaanites were the ones who came in and deceived the children of Israel, the leaders, even Moses and Joshua. They came in and they, if you remember the story, they came in and they had tattered clothing and they had their wineskins were old and rotten and their food was moldy and crumbly, their bread. And so they said, we've heard what your God is doing, how he had conquered all these other, how he divided the sea and how you defeated all these other kingdoms. And so we come to make a deal with you. We want to make a covenant with you so that our people won't be destroyed like they were. Well, where do you come from? Oh, look, we come from a long way. When we left, these were brand new clothes. Wineskins were brand new. We had fresh bread. Look, all this stuff's, yeah, we've come a long way. And they said, okay, we'll make sure that you're protected. We make an agreement in the name of our God, a covenant with you that you'll never be destroyed by us. And then they found out they were their neighbors. They were Canaanites. And that's where these Canaanites came from. And when they found out they had been deceived, God chastised them and said, well, you forgot to ask me, first of all. You didn't consult me before you made this agreement, or I'd have told you, don't do it. Then second of all, they made them their slaves. They made them carry wood and water. They made them slaves to the children of Israel. They were able to live within the boundaries of the Israel nation. But they had to serve the Israelites. And so this Canaanite woman then comes up to Jesus, this slave woman, basically. And she's crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Just think about that for just a moment. When you have a child that is so miserable, in such agony, and you feel so helpless to do anything because everything you've tried does not work, wouldn't you do anything for that child? I mean, literally, wouldn't you do anything? I mean, if it would help the child, we would give our own lives to help them. And this mother is searching for an answer, and she's heard about Jesus. And it's incredible that this woman calls Jesus Lord. Because here she is, a slave woman of the Jewish people. And here's a Jew, but she doesn't mind calling him Lord. Not just Lord in the sense of, you know, the Lord of the castle. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. She recognizes that he is of God. And that's why she comes to him begging, help me with my demon-possessed daughter. Now, folks, it's also incredible that she knew what demon possession was. And she recognized it. Why? Because it was a common thing that happened in those days. And folks, it's becoming more common in these days. There are many people who go to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they tell them that they need to do this, need to do that, and they give them this pill and that pill, and the person is no better. Why? Because many of those people are demon-possessed, or at least demon-obsessed. And what they really need is to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. And then their guilt and their shame will be dealt with by Christ. Something medicine can never correct, can never take away, is our guilt and our shame. And no man's explanation can fix it. And no man's explanation can change the destination of our soul as a result. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And so this woman recognizes that. And she's crying out to Christ, Lord, Son of David. She's giving him the acknowledgement that he is the Messiah. That's why she calls him Son of David, because the Messiah would come through the lineage of King David. And she recognized that. And here she was, a foreigner. She was not of the Jewish faith. She was a Gentile. And still, she recognized this. And so she cries out, to help her daughter. And then Jesus' answer sounds so cruel. It's not, but it sounds like it. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, folks, Jesus had a mission that was given to him by God the Father. And his mission was to come and to help, but to lift up Israel, to bring Israel into a right relationship with God the Father, to introduce them to the Holy Spirit, to introduce them to Jesus himself, to their Messiah. And then it was their job to go out and evangelize others. But he does, from time to time, like here, make an exception. And here we see one of the greatest things that Jesus does and says. The woman came to him and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. She's begging. Again, this is her child that is miserable. She's tried everything and nothing else works. She's called upon the local exorcist and they couldn't exorcise this demon. So she recognizes there's something about Jesus. He has cast out many demons just by speaking. And so she comes to him and she says, Lord, help me. Help my daughter, please, please. And he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Can you imagine being referred to as a dog? Here you are begging already. You already feel somewhat ashamed because you're having to beg. And then this person you're begging from calls you a dog. That was a common name for Canaanites. They were dogs because they were Gentiles that had deceived the leaders of the nation Israel. So they were dogs. They weren't even human. They were dogs. They were like your pets, you know. Fitch, boy, Fitch. And they accepted that. And that's why she was still humble and not angered by this. She understood that was who I am. I wonder sometimes when we're talking to the Almighty God, do we realize who we are in His presence? Do we realize how small we are to Him? Do we realize that He is truly the God of Genesis 1:1, the God who created all that exists, the God who He still is involved in everything that happens in the world? He is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the sovereign Lord. He can speak and it happens. And when we come before Him, He could say, you're dead. He doesn't, and He probably wouldn't, but He could. That's my point. So do we realize when we come before Him, are we trying to tell Him what we want Him to do? Or are we asking? This woman was begging. See, when we get to a point of desperation, that's when God really hears what we have to say. Because then we really realize that we need Him. Our nation needs to be in a state of desperation right now, folks, because of what's going on in our land. We should be crying out to God like this woman, falling on our knees, begging, Lord, please save our nation. Lord, please save our nation from all this evil, from the socialism, from all of this garbage that's going on with the fighting and the picketing and the parading and all of this stuff, all the burning of buildings. God, help us. God, please help us. Have mercy, Lord, on our nation. We repent of our sinfulness of killing 65 million babies unborn. We repent as a nation, Lord God, for all of the sexual sins, all of the perversion that goes on. We repent, Lord, of all of the filth of our nation. God, please help us. Lord Jesus, help us. We need you. We need to be crying out to God like this woman, realizing her only answer could come from Jesus. Our only answer, folks, for our nation can come from Jesus Christ alone. That's it. Nowhere else There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's what the Word of God tells us. Jesus Christ alone is our Savior. Jesus Christ alone is the answer. Jesus Christ alone is the one who is waiting for us to call out to Him, to ask Him to help, and He will act as soon as we cry out. That's what happened here. This woman's heart is broken for her daughter. And even though he says no initially, she doesn't take no for an answer. We have to take and accept no. No, we don't. We have to say, no, Lord, you're better than that. No, Lord, your word promises that if we cry out, you will heal our land. If we repent, you will heal our land. Lord, that's what your word says, and I'm depending on you to keep your word. And I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to repent, as the prophet of old did, for my nation. I'm crying out, God, help us. Help us. Have mercy, God. And after this statement that it's not right to toss the children's bed to the dogs, she says this. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Because even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall under the master's table. She's saying, Lord, I know I'm not equal to them. I know that I'm not one of them. I know I'm a dog, and that's okay. I don't mind being a dog, because even as a dog, when the master eats, even the children of the master eats, they drop crumbs, and I go down there and I lick them up. And I'm asking, just give me a crumb, Lord. I'm not asking for a big thing. Just give me a little crumb, Lord. Just give me a little crumb. That's all I ask, Lord. Sometimes we want great big things from God. But could we handle it if He really gave us that great big thing? All we really need, folks, is these little crumbs. A crumb here, a crumb there, and it adds up. It's like digging for gold. And you usually don't find great big nuggets. Sometimes you do, but you usually find these little bitty specks. Little crumbs. But you know what? You take enough of them crumbs and they add up. Jesus, this is amazing. Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Why? Because she was humble. Because she understood, I'm not to take no for an answer. Because she said, whatever it takes, Lord. If I have to be destroyed for my daughter to be saved, that's okay. I'm all right with that. You can call me names. I'm humble, Lord. Whatever you say is right. Whatever you say is right. But please have mercy on my daughter. I know I'm nothing, but my daughter. Save her, Lord. Your request is granted. Wow. I wonder if we went around the room and asked, how many of us could say there was a time when we were in that situation, when we were desperate and we cried out to God and He said, your request is granted. How many of us could say that? I'm going to see some hands. Anybody experienced that besides me? There's been times in my life when things were going so wrong, usually because I did something stupid, and I was desperate, and I cried out to God. And I may not have heard Him vocally say, your request is granted, but things changed. So I knew it was. Things changed. Not because of how good I am, not because of anything that I did, but because I trusted Him, and He is great. He is mighty. He is wonderful. He is loving. That's why. Because of Him. It's all about Him. And one day we get to stand before Him, bow before Him, and worship Him face to face. We get to thank Him for all He's done. We get to say, Lord, You are so wonderful. You've done so much. And now I am even here in Your presence, and I'm just overwhelmed. I mean, can you imagine? We have so many struggles in this life. So much going on right now. And many are saying it's going to get worse before it gets better. They're saying, look out in November. November's going to be a rough month. Maybe November, December, and part of January. But things are going to change at the same time. There is going, this revival is going to happen. And it's as a result of all the struggles, people are finally waking up. People are finally saying, hey, enough's enough. We've gone too far down the wrong road. It's time to turn back to God. And that's what this day of prayer that we're asking people to sign up back there is about. Take an hour. Sign up for an hour and pray. You don't have to come here. You can pray at home. Just sign up and pray during that hour. The books that were passed out has a lot of wonderful prayers in them to help you, to guide you, to give you something to pray about. But folks, if we as the church don't cry out to God, if we don't find within us the need for God in this time, it's over. Because if the church doesn't cry out to God, why would lost people? They don't believe in Him to start with. It's up to us. Judgment must begin first at the house of God. So folks, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to stop just be pew warmers and get involved. Get in a closer walk with Jesus. Get in prayer. Get in the Word. It's time. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 382, Glory to His Name. Let's stand and sing.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the
about these books that what Mitch has preached today is so vitally important. So, Heavenly Father, I want to lift these gentlemen up and ask for your healing.
Yes.
I ask that you work in their hearts and lives to accomplish what you want. And Lord, I pray that I have the strength to pass on the message from these books that you want me to say.
Yes, Lord, help me.
I feel very strongly about this, and I just ask for your wisdom and guidance. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let me turn this mic up so people can hear you. It's already on.
Okay. I'm talking to you about some books today. Some of you may be familiar with them. Some of you may not. I know Mitch talks about Jonathan Cahn a lot. I think he is a prophetic prophet for this time that we're living in.
Amen.
And I think it's vital that we listen to what he writes in these books.
That's the new one.
Yeah. The Harbinger. This deals with 9/11. Back in 2001. And he said, that's God's warning to this nation that judgment is coming.
Amen.
I believe that wholeheartedly. And he's given other warnings too. And
yes.
Quite often we live our daily lives and don't recognize them. This book is here at church.
Yeah.
They can take it out anytime they want.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's in the library.
Also this one, The Paradigm. I want to read a couple of excerpts out of it. In this book, he compares Bill and Hillary Clinton when they were in the presidency to Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. Now, that's pretty strong stuff.
Yep.
Because if you remember anything about the stories of Ahab and Jezebel, it was not good. And Jezebel greatly influenced her husband. She was from a pagan country, and she brought in pagan priests and idols, and she helped to destroy the nation Israel. And Bill and Hillary Clinton did that, and I didn't realize all the things they did until I read this book, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Just reading a couple of paragraphs here, if I can get myself on the right page. I got notes here, just a second. After Ahab and Jezebel, their reign was over and King Ahab died, Jezebel was still an influence in the affairs of Israel. And her son, or their son, took over the presidency. Well, while that didn't happen to Bill and Hillary Clinton, they were still talking about the fact that Hillary was active in the political affairs after Bill Clinton was out of office.
Yep.
And that she greatly influenced Barack Obama. So the illustration falls that she was almost like a mother to him as far as educating him and things. And this paragraph is a statement that Barack Obama made on his first time in office. He says, whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation. Now, that's scary. He misquoted it. He didn't say it the way it was written, but that's what he said. And that's what went out, that we're no longer a Christian nation.
Yep.
Now, when you got the president of the United States saying, we're no longer a Christian nation, we got a problem.
Amen.
And Bill and Hillary Clinton were leaders in getting abortion started and making it available for everyone.
Yep.
That's another desecration of God's laws.
Amen.
Anyway, this book, it belongs to the church too. Take it and read it. And if some of you aren't great readers, get a group together, maybe take a chapter a week and read it. I think it's that vital next
Amen.
To the Bible that you really need to know what's in it. And then Kathy gave me this for an early birthday present. It's called The Harbinger 2. And I thought, oh, well, I read Harbinger. I thought, this is going to be kind of disappointing for Harbinger 2. And no, it's not. I read sections of this book, and I sit there and I cry because I think this is happening in America. And if America doesn't change, we're going down, and we're going down fast.
Amen.
People talk about in prophecy, where is America in end time prophecy? We're not listed. We're not there. We are not a valuable nation at all at the end of the Bible. And also at the end, it says all nations turn against God. I cannot strongly enough recommend that you get these books and read them. You just got to. If that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what it's going to take to wake you up.
There will soon be a copy of that one in the library also.
Okay, Jim? I can't hear you, Jim.
The Oracle.
He's also got a book called The Oracle.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Jonathan Cahn does have other books out, too.
Yeah, The Oracle is also a very good,
very good book.
And it's in the library as well.
Yeah, he also wrote The Book of Mysteries, which I have that one at my house, but it does belong here. So if you need help on getting a book, let us know. We'll try to get your book where you can read it.
Yep.
Ask at your libraries. I don't know if they have it or not, but if not, request that they get it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It says, you know, what is your job to do is to be a watchman on the wall. And that's what I want to do right now and say, we've got to heed God's word. Just this last week in watching the news, there's one lady that, well, this disappoints me is when the gay pride movement has taken our rainbow and made it their symbol. And a lady had that flag flying on her porch and somebody tore it up. It upset her. Yeah, we shouldn't walk on somebody's porch and tear up anything that belongs to them. I agree on that.
Unchristian.
But on the other hand, that's another movement that has gone against the word of God.
God will take care of it.
So that's what I got to say today, Mitch. I hope you all will. These books will be here. They can be read. And I hope you read it and let me know what you glean from it.
Amen.
It's important.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Amen.
Well, thank you, Mary. That's something we need to all need to be aware of.
Yes.
Also need to be aware of the prayer list. Is there anyone? I know there's a writing stick around here. Anyone who needs to be added to or removed from the prayer list this morning?
All right, let's stand and let's pray. And call it a day.
It's a day.
Father God, thank you so much for your presence here amongst us this morning. Lord, it's so good to feel your Holy Ghost fire. Lord, thank you for the inspiration of Sister Mary. And others, Lord, are becoming more and more excited about working for you. So Lord, I just give you thanks and praise, and I ask you to continue to move us closer to you, continue to purge our lives of the things that keep us away from you. And then we can spend more and more of our time walking in your presence. Lord, help us this week and every week, but especially, Lord, help us to continue to live the gospel and share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of
blessed day. We'll see you later.
Yeah, too big. Yeah.